From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama is expected to sign health care overhaul legislation into law tomorrow. The measure won final approval in the House last night. But at least 10 states are planning to join a lawsuit challenging the bill. Judith Smeltzer of member station WMFE reports Florida's Republican Attorney General insists the measure is unconstitutional.
The 10 states say they'll file the lawsuit as soon as President Obama signs the health care bill into law. Florida Attorney General Bill McCollum, who's running for governor this year, says the suit will challenge the provision that imposes a penalty on Americans who don't buy health insurance.
This is not a tax on employment. It's not like Medicare or Social Security. This is a tax or a penalty on just living, and that's unconstitutional. There's no provision in the Constitution of the United States giving Congress the power to do that.
He says the lawsuit will also argue the bill violates the Constitution's 10th Amendment protections of states' rights by placing too many requirements on state governments. McCollum says other states joining the suit include South Carolina, Nebraska, North and South Dakota, Texas, Alabama, Pennsylvania, and Washington State. For NPR News, I'm Judith Smeltzer in Orlando.
Passage of the health care bill in the House will allow the administration to make some sweeping changes in the federal student loan program. NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports what happens next.
With the health care and education bills now on their way to the Senate for its expected approval, House Democrats say the federal family education loan program that relied on private lenders will cease to exist. And beginning July 1, all federal student loans will be issued by the U.S. Education Department. The role of private lenders will be limited to a handful of government contracts for managing and collecting loans. This will save $61 billion. $2 billion will go to historically black colleges, another $2 billion to community colleges. But there's no money for early childhood programs, as the Obama administration once promised. Most of the savings, about $36 billion, will go back into student financial aid, especially Pell Grants for needy students. Also, graduates struggling to pay back their loans will get a huge break. Their payments will be limited to 10% of their adjusted gross income. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is pushing back on the issue of Israeli settlement building, saying the new construction undermines mutual trust and could derail a resumption of Middle East peace talks.
New construction in East Jerusalem or the West Bank undermines that mutual trust and endangers the proximity talks that are the first step toward the full negotiations that both sides say they want and need.
Clinton speaking to a pro-Israeli lobbying group in Washington today. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has arrived in the U.S. for talks with the president tomorrow. Before departing Israel, Netanyahu said his country will not stop settlement construction in areas around East Jerusalem. A rally in healthcare-related stocks is boosting the overall market today. The Dow is up 56 points. The Nasdaq is up 20. This is NPR News from Washington. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he's looking into allegations that a Pentagon official ran an off-the-books intelligence-gathering operation in Afghanistan and Pakistan that relied on private contractors.
We do have reviews and investigations going on to find out what the story is here, to find out what the facts are. And if it's necessary to make some changes, I'll do that.
Gates speaking to reporters at the Pentagon today. North Korea says it will put another American on trial for illegally entering its borders. From Seoul, Dwali Saikautau reports the 29-year-old is from Boston.
North Korea's official state media says Aijalan Mali Gomes's crime has been confirmed by the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, the North's official name. In the brief report, the North says it will put the man on trial, but did not give a specific date. The report did say that he was born in 1979 and is a U.S. citizen who previously resided in the state of Massachusetts. The American was apparently detained in late January along the China-North Korea border. Local media reported earlier that the man claimed he no longer wanted to live in a capitalist world. North Korea last year convicted two American journalists to several years of hard labor for illegal entry in the North, but later released them. For NPR News, I'm Dwahali Saikautau in Seoul.
The Red River is receding slowly after cresting over the weekend in Fargo, North Dakota. Sandbag barriers and clay levees there managed to prevent a repeat of last year's extensive flooding. But local officials in Fargo are warning residents that sewage and other material in the river could still pose a threat to the community. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.